Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, Chris. Good, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. When is the moratorium over for the wishing people Happy New Year?
Yeah, we were just talking about that yesterday. Dustin said Friday.
I think it's this week. I think this week. This business week. Yeah, I think it's like next Monday. Maybe this weekend you could still see somebody and say it, but I think starting next Monday.
Eventually, I feel like I would only say it to somebody I'm friends with. Like, not just every stranger that you come across in the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What if I've already said it to somebody?
No, then that's
it. Do I have to keep saying
it to them? No, one time.
Okay. Just once.
Right. Once you say it once, that's it, man. By the way, Chris is with us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. Dustin and I were getting into a little bit of a debate. Couple things about J.R. Smith. So you got to break the tie here. You ready?
Oh, boy.
One, is J.R. Smith an all-time great shooter?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You think so? Even though he's 125th all-time in percentage?
Don't try to change his mind. You asked him a question.
All right, fair enough.
Why are you trying to change his mind?
He's a specialist. It's not like he does everything well, but he's one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time,
125th percentage-wise, Chris, career.
Percentage-wise, sure. In terms of makes, he's right up there.
Yeah, well, it's 'cause he takes 1,000 shots. You're gonna.
Whatever
fits your argument, Adam. I mean, Chris Fedor covers the game. He says he's an all-time great.
I mean, Chris, come on. I expect better from you. Come on now.
In terms of three-point shooting?
I think he's an all-time great shooter.
He's a very good three-point shooter. I just don't think he was an all-time great because he doesn't shoot for a good enough percentage.
Interesting. That's interesting how you evaluate that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't look at it that way. You just look at he just gets a lot of threes. He takes a lot of threes, so he's going to miss some.
Well, I don't think the only reason that he's made as many as he has throughout the course of his career and where he is on the ranks of the all-time three-point shooters is only because he's a chucker and he takes a whole bunch of them. I think at some point you have to recognize that the guy has made more than a lot of other guys that have come into the NBA.
All right, fair enough. Let's see if Dustin goes 2-for-2 on this one. I say JR is not playing as well this year on either side of the ball.
I was going to say it,
and I said I think there's a chance.
I love how you set up your questions to get your answer the way you want.
I said I think there's a chance. I didn't say it was definitely going to happen. That because of the depth the Cavs have, if everybody's healthy, there's a chance he could possibly be out of the mix in the playoffs. Am I nuts?
I think you're nuts based on the roster that they have currently. Now, I think there's a chance that the Cavs evaluate their roster around the time of the trade deadline and say, we think we'd be better off upgrading that spot than maybe upgrading the center spot. A lot of people are talking about a rim protector, somebody to replace Tristan Thompson. I think the Cavs have a choice to make when it comes to the trade deadline because they're not going to be able to do a bunch of different things, but they may be able to improve one area. And I think the conversation comes down to, do we improve on the Tristan Thompson minutes or do we improve on the J.R. Smith minutes? And if they go the direction of improving on the J.R. Smith minutes, which is the direction I think they should go, because I think that would have more of a trickle-down effect, especially in a series against the Warriors, then I think he would be bumped out of the rotation. But as it stands right now, there just aren't a lot of quality options behind him, and Dwayne Wade does not want to be a starter anymore. He wants to come off the bench.
Why is he not playing as well, you think?
JR?
Yeah.
I think there are a couple of things going on. Number one, I don't think he was ever as prolific as a defender as the Cavs were making it seem like he was. I think he was trying harder, and he deserved a lot of credit for that, no question about that. But I don't think he was ever a great defender, and the numbers never showed him to be a great defender. So I think he was overrated from that standpoint.
So he's not one of the best on-the-ball defenders, Chris?
He is not.
Ah, you lost that one, Dustin.
at the same time, I think you have to add into it that I don't know that he really has as significant as a role as maybe he thinks he should or maybe fans think he should. Like, LeBron is going to run the offense, then Kevin Love is going to be heavily involved. There's no doubt about that. Jay Crowder is going to have to get some of those shots that J.R. Smith used to get. So I just think that's making things tougher on him, that he has had to turn into this efficient player because he's not going to get as many shots based on the changes that the Cavs made. I think you also have to look at the fact that he's towards the end of his career, and he's somebody who relied a lot on athleticism and three-point shooting and other guys creating opportunities for him. And when those things don't happen or those things start to be taken away from him, then I think you start to see the other flaws and the other warts in his game start to show up.
Hey, Chris, how excited should we be as Cavs fans watching Isaiah Thomas in that debut last night? Because I'm getting a little bit giddy. You know, I didn't think he would perform that well, play that many minutes, and put up that many points, and he said he could have played more. I mean, he looked damn good, Chris.
So I think Ty Lue and LeBron put it in really good perspective after the game. They basically said, hey, look, that performance that he had last night against Portland, it's not going to be that good every single night out, and we're going to have to continue to figure things out with IT as we move forward. Ty Lue saying this, I'm going to have to figure out my rotations and where he wants the ball and the plays that are best for him and the lineups that work best to maximize him. But the way that I wrote it today, guys, for Cleveland.com is that Isaiah Thomas raises their ceiling. And I think that's important because sometimes you just have to ask yourself, how good is your good? And I think the Cavs' good is as good as any team in the NBA, except for probably the Warriors. But IT playing the way that he did offensively and the trickle-down effect that it had on Tristan Thompson, who became more valuable last night because of his offensive rebounding and became more valuable last night because of the screens that he set up for Isaiah Thomas, Smith had last night, had some correlation to Tristan Thompson. That helped Tristan's value be a little bit higher than it has been in recent weeks when he's been criticized a bunch. Jay Crowder said he was very comfortable last night playing alongside IT because that was his point guard for 3 years. So if that unlocks Crowder's potential on this team, you can see the effect that it has on him. LeBron played 34 minutes last night, the fewest that he's played since November 28th. He only scored 24 points, and they won by 17. And Dwayne Wade in the second unit didn't have to be the primary facilitator. He was able to be a scorer, and he was able to play in the post and closer to the rim and cut away from the ball. So if you start looking at all those different things that IT meant to the Cavs' success offensively, you can start seeing how he has an impact, not just in the box score, but on the other teammates around him. And because of that, it raises the Cavs' ceiling to a different level that maybe they didn't have at the beginning of the season, even when they were on that hot streak that they were on.
You know, Chris, last year going into the finals, I won't throw you in there because you're not in this group, but most of the rest of us convinced ourselves that the Cavs had a good bench and that they could beat the Warriors, and obviously we were foolish to think that. Mm-hmm. This year, if healthy, it seems like they do have I don't know if it's better than the Warriors, but they do have a much better bench, obviously. Because you're replacing Darren Williams and Derek Williams and Richard Jefferson with better players, especially Dwayne Wade. So are the Cavs, even without Kyrie Irving, if healthy, better positioned to beat Golden State this year?
I think they are, but I think there are serious obstacles still that they have to overcome here. And I don't know that they even have the answers internally to do it. But I think they are because beyond the fact that their bench is better and their bench got obliterated by Golden State's last year in the NBA Finals, I think they can play small and be effective playing small. And I think that's very, very important when playing against the Warriors. You have to find a five-man lineup that can match their best five-man lineup. And the Warriors' best five-man lineup is Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala. And if you don't have a five-man lineup that can match that, then it's curtains. You're not going to win that series. You might win a game, maybe you win two games, but you're not winning 4 out of 7 against them. I think the other thing is the Cavs are going to be able to rely on more two-way players. Every single time Ty Lue tried to make a decision in the series against the Warriors, he had to give something up. okay, I'm going to go to Kyle Korver because I feel like I need more shooting, more offense. Well, I lose something defensively. I'm going to go to Iman Shumpert because I need somebody else to guard Kevin Durant, not named LeBron. So I'm going to get something defensively from Shump, but Golden State's not even going to pay attention to him out on the court, and we have to play 4-on-5. I'm going to go to Tristan Thompson because I can switch everything defensively, but the Warriors aren't going to pay attention to him as long as he's away from the paint. So every single time Ty tried to do something, it was, I have to sacrifice something. Jeff Green is a two-way player. Dwayne Wade is a two-way player. So having as many two-way players as possible, Jay Crowder, same thing, in that series against the Warriors, new guys that they didn't have last year, that boosts their chances. But I think the bottom line is, if you're honest about things, and I don't know that this means that the Cavs can't win the series, but the truth is, Golden State worries about one player right now on the Cavs. That's it. They're only concerned about LeBron. And in the past, Kyrie Irving was the kind of guy that made them fearful. And he had this unique ability to wear down Klay Thompson and keep him from being great offensively because he expended so much energy on the defensive side of the floor trying to contain Kyrie. I don't know how you replace that, and I think that's unquantifiable. And Isaiah Thomas is not somebody that the Warriors worry about at all. They feel like 6'7" Klay Thompson against 5'9" Isaiah Thomas is a matchup that the Warriors can win more times than not. Whereas Klay, sometimes one of the best defenders in the NBA, just threw his hands up in the air like, how the heck am I supposed to guard Kyrie? This guy's so frigging good. I'm doing everything possible, and he's still going for 40 against me. They feel like 6'7" Klay against 5'9" Thomas is a winning matchup for the Warriors.
Right.
Of course they feel like that. And on the other side, the Cavs were at their best in the NBA Finals against the Warriors when they were able to switch 1 through 5. And they can't do that with Isaiah. And there's nowhere to hide Isaiah defensively. He's one of the worst defensive players in the NBA, not because he doesn't try hard, not because he has poor fundamentals, but because he's 5'9", and there are limitations that come with that. So I think his effect and the impact that he can have in that particular series is not nearly going to be as much as what Kyrie gave the Cavs at both ends. And it's not to say Kyrie was great defensively, but they could at least hide him in a way that I don't know that the Cavs can do that with IT. So I think his impact in the Warriors series is something really, really up for debate at this point.
Chris, what do you make of the story from ESPN? You know, Kyrie's comments about, hey, the Cavs didn't want me, so I requested the trade. I had no say in where I went, all this stuff. What do you make of that? Have you heard differently?
So I think Kyrie is a very complex guy, and I think the story that Jackie McMullen did for ESPN was really, really good, and it was really informative, and I think it helped give you an idea of just who Kyrie is at his core and, like, the way that he is wired. But I don't think there was anything new necessarily in that sort of thing. Part of the reason why Kyrie was upset with the Cavs is because he felt like he was on the trade block, or he felt like the Cavs were willing to discuss trades involving him, whether it be for Paul George and Eric Bledsoe, or whether it be for someone else that could improve their roster. And I don't blame the Cavs for that. They got blown out in the NBA Finals in 5 games against the Warriors. If you have an opportunity to try and at least explore improving some facets of your roster, and Kyrie is a very, very valuable piece, and you can get multiple pieces in return for him, I don't blame the Cavs for that. But at the same time, I can understand how that would rub Kyrie the wrong way. Just a few years earlier, they were talking about making him the Steve Nash of the team. They were talking about making him part of this new big three for the next however many years. And then to turn around and change that, despite the fact that Kyrie hit the biggest shot in franchise history, despite the fact that he was the second best player for the Cavs against the Warriors, despite the fact that he was a multiple-time All-Star, he's looking at it like that, saying, wait a minute, I did all those things for you, and now you're going to trade me? So I can understand why he would have been upset about that sort of thing.
Chris, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.